afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch as we'll talk Northwest Athletics for the next hour here. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, as always, action-packed show coming up here with that crossover time between the winter sports and the spring sports. Despite the weather, I think everyone was able to get in some competition over this past weekend.
Yeah, that's the hard part right now with those outdoor sports, was trying to find ways to get it in there. But you're exactly right. Northwest Baseball pushed things back just enough to where they were able to get in a three-game set here at home against Central Missouri. Then, of course, softball heading down south. So both of those teams getting in action as baseball, of course, with that MIAA opening series. Softball still inching toward that. And then, of course, as you look at it, the indoor championships for the MIAA were held in Maryville over the weekend. A huge success there for the Northwest women. And then basketball wrapping up the regular season with some home games against Kearney on the road, Hayes at home. So now it's full speed ahead toward the MIAA tournament.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend coming up in Kansas City. Municipal Auditorium for both the men and women there. But do you look at the indoor track and field? As you mentioned, the women did great. There's some good performances really on both sides. And just overall, the MIAA has just some great athletes in track and field, and they were all performing this past weekend.
Yeah, they were. It's such a tough conference. There are so many good athletes that do get brought in to the MIAA, and you really see it showcased there. So first of all, I think it's fantastic that Maryville is able to host this now with the Hughes Fieldhouse, the second time the Bearcats having the MIAA championships. And then to be able to rise to the occasion, too. Caroline Cunningham setting a meet record there in the 1 mile. She won that. She took second in the 5,000 meters, fourth in the 3,000. So she did enough to be the high point scorer for the women's side for the meet, as the Bearcat women finished second overall. Jada Shanklin was an MIAA champion in the high jump. Lucy Toledo took the pentathlon. So the women finishing second, that was huge for them as they move forward toward the indoor championships for the nation coming up here in a couple weeks. Then on the men's side, a sixth-place finish as a team. A good showing there from Blake Morgan in the high jump as he's going to be moving forward to the national championships coming up. And the men's distance medley also taking first there. So some good performances and something to build off of with that final indoor meet right around the corner.
And for baseball, open up with three games, very tough games against one of the top teams in the nation in Central Missouri coming in. They were swept in those three games, but I think there are some things out of each of those contests you can kind of build on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's not like those were ones where the Bearcats were just run out of the ballpark. I mean, they were right there playing in it. I think you look at that opener, Max Spitzmiller gave up four or five runs through a complete game, just couldn't quite get the offensive production. That series finale, which came up yesterday, Northwest was up 9-8 heading into through six innings, and it was tied up heading into the top of the ninth, but the Mules just had a little bit more firepower there at the end of the series. So that's a tough one, getting swept, but the Bearcats have a chance to bounce back on the road heading to Pittsburgh, Kansas. Pitt State coming off taking Missouri Southern down 2-3 games there in their MIAA opening series. So, you know, Southern's a very good ball club down there. So for Pitt to win that, it'll be quite the challenge for the Bearcats to take on the Gorillas. But again, with the way the pitching is with this team, if those bats can come alive for a couple, they can go take a series from anybody.
Yeah, it should be in about every game as we've seen so far. And then you look at softball yesterday in particular, my goodness, games where they were defeated with walk-off innings there in the bottom of the seventh, and both of those games with Drury. Of course, Drury, a very good softball program, but that Northwest women's team playing with everybody right now. Just an unfortunate circumstance yesterday where they lost a couple heartbreakers.
Yeah, I feel like that 4-13 record right now is kind of deceiving. You look at it, the Bearcats lost 3 of 4 over the weekend. Beat Southwest Baptist 7-0, then came back, you mentioned it, a couple walk-off wins for a Drury, both one-run ball games, and it's where Northwest is getting those bats to come around, still just trying to close out games. So Coach Tay is still trying to steer her team in the right direction and find ways to get over that hump, but still about a week or so until they're going to get into MIAA play, so a chance to kind of figure things out. But if you look at it, in that win over SBU, 1 through 4 in the lineup, had 5 hits, and then 7, 8, 9 hits, went 6 of 11 at the plate. So they're getting some production up and down. It's just a matter of kind of putting it together and finding ways to finish some of these wins off.
And for the Bearcat basketball teams, they closed up the regular season Saturday in front of a great crowd at Bearcat Arena. Nearly a capacity crowd as Fort Hays State came to town.
Yeah, that was fun to see so many folks coming out and really a good salute to the seniors, their final home games there at Bearcat Arena. Of course, for the women's team, it didn't quite finish up the way Northwest wanted, a 69-47 loss to Fort Hays State. But really, that's a 5-point game heading into the fourth quarter. It's just a matter of, you know, Hayes got hot and the Bearcats got kind of cold there in that fourth. They were able to open things up, but Northwest heads in. They're the sixth seed in the MIAA tournament, a chance to do some good things there against Nebraska Kearney, which will be that first matchup for Northwest in the quarterfinals of the tournament. They've dropped two in a row to Kearney this year, but it's still kind of a similar style. If a couple shots go down, it'll be defensive, low-scoring battle, so I think the Bearcats can do some good things there. Then on the men's side, you know it. For as much as this has been a season with some adversity and so many different obstacles out there, it was kind of the same old thing. We're seeing the Bearcats cutting down nets, and that's just kind of what we expect to see as we head into March. So not to put too high expectations on this team, but again, when you got Trevor Hudgens, Diego Bernard out there, you know they're capable of anything, and they really played spirited against Fort Hayes, and you hope to see that roll over next week.
Talk about that. Nine straight years now that they've had either an outright or a share of the MIAA regular season title, and in a conference that is as tough as the MIAA has been through the years in basketball, that's just something to really be proud of.
Oh, man, it is. Of course, that's an MIAA record for a streak of winning consecutive regular season titles. And Coach Mack always finds a way to get his team up and gets them rolling. And, you know, he's talked about it before, and you might hear from him talk about it today too. But winning the tournament championship, that's great. But that's kind of being hot right now. But being able to win a regular season one, that is so difficult, the span of 20-plus conference games and just the tooth and nail being on every single night to be able to pull that out, especially in a conference like this. So it's a really impressive feat. And now, you want to see him get hot right now and go in a couple tournaments.
Well, he's won a few of those as well.
He's done all right in Kansas City.
You know, one thing he doesn't talk much about, and I haven't heard a lot about this, but he also reached a pretty big milestone last week too, with his 200th conference win as a head coach. So only four other coaches besides Macnell have reached that. And you look at those, Robert Korn at Missouri Southern, Coach Stapmeyer at Northwest, Tom Smith of both Missouri Western, Central Missouri, and Bob Chippen at Washburn. He's in pretty good company right there.
Those are some guys with their names and some Hall of Fames, you know, on down the line. So I think Coach Mack, obviously, he's kind of set the tone for what his program is and what it's going to be as they go along. So tremendous to be able to get his team up and ready and motivated. The recruiting, of course, that goes into it in the off season. So pretty spectacular feat for him to get that accomplished at such a young age too.
Oh, no doubt about that. In 13 years at Northwest Missouri State, look at the rest of those guys. They're looking at 20, 25, 30 years in coaching, getting those numbers. So.
Oh, I know too. And, you know, think about it. You know, some guys work their entire career just one shot at getting to an Elite Eight and winning a national championship. You know, we've seen that, you know, three times in the previous five seasons for Northwest Missouri State. So it really is an embarrassment of riches right now. And, you know, as long as Coach McCollum's here, he's going to keep grinding and keep working toward another.
No doubt about that. And, again, we've got a lot coming up on our coaches' show here today, as we'll be talking with a lot of the coaches and players involved with not only basketball but the spring sports as well. More coming up from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Pizza Ranch here in Maryville, talking Northwest Missouri State softball. We are joined by head coach Naomi Tellez, as well as a freshman from her team, Skylar Piper. Skylar, coach, appreciate coming on. A tough weekend when you look at it record-wise, 1-3, but there were a lot of good things to pull from that, the close ball games, and still trying to grind out some of those wins.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, yesterday's losses were happened in the bottom of the seventh, both innings, but we definitely competed better than we have. We had a lot of big bats come up in big moments. it's slowly starting to come together. You know, I've obviously wanted to grind out a couple more wins, but I do think we're moving in the right direction.
So we talked about this with Coach Meyer in his first three seasons of trying to build up the women's program there on the basketball side, and he's all about trust the process, stick to what we're doing day in, day out, don't look too far down the road. How hard is that as a young coach to kind of think about that small detail and not the big picture?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just being the competitor is, you know, I don't like losing, and that's really hard. But at the same time, taking those baby steps and, you know, seeing those small victories within our team and people really starting to trust the process, that makes it a little easier to swallow.
Skylar, how hard is that to the way both games end last, I guess, over the weekend? But then kind of going back to the way things started out, you're up in the Dome, Minnesota State. Obviously, it's a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. This team has made some large steps here in the first few weeks.
A lot of things are clicking now. We have decided and, like, talked to one another how we are going to change, because the first few tournaments, we weren't playing how we normally do. And then Coach talked to us, and then we started finally finding that thing that needed to happen for us to get those wins, and we are there. We're very close.
When you hear that, coach, and the communication's there and the team's sticking together, it's not one of those things that early on you're splintering because of couple losses.
Exactly right.
It has to be big for us to culture.
It is. And I told them early on, like, listen, we're not going to do this by going our separate ways. We're going to do this together, and we're going to get through all of it together. And it doesn't matter wins and losses. Like, we're not pointing fingers at anybody. If you're going to point a finger, you're going to point it at me, but you guys are going to stay together, and we'll get through it.
The win over SBU, 7-0 there on the first day. How good was Brett Dickey?
Oh, lights out. Like, I've never seen her throw like that. and it's nice knowing that she can dominate the way that she did. I know it's in her, and I know sometimes we put her against some great hitting teams, but knowing that she can control a team for 7 innings the way that she did was really, really nice to see.
Skylar, she threw a complete game shutout, 11 strikeouts. How easy is it playing defense behind that?
Oh, it's just the best. It's also so fun being able to cheer her on, just being able to throw that ball around after she gets that strikeout. It's the best thing ever. And then when I was playing third, I always got to, like, have a little pep talk with her before the next pitch, and we just always had that great little, like, it's the next one we're going to get to.
Now, is that pretty, like, a serious thing of, like, all right, let's go, or is it kind of keeping it light? You tell some jokes out there.
Yeah, definitely telling some jokes. It's definitely, we like to keep it fun out there. When I think we play best when we're loose.
Oh, for sure.
So the pitching was on, and then you look at it too, 1-4 in the order, 5 hits, 4 RBIs, 7-8-9 in the order, 6-11.
Yeah.
The bats are coming around too.
They are coming around, and I think too, it's just really understanding where we are in the order and why you're placed while we're there, you know. We kind of talked about it, you know, last week is, you know, 3-6, it's going to be hard to find good pitches, and you just need to be really patient and really selective, and now that's starting to click. And I also think too, we're just being more confident in our swings. Being outside is huge for us. And just being able to see more live arms.
When you look at a player like Skylar, hits 333 over the weekend, hit safely in 3 games, and it's kind of coming around. Is it tough to keep her out of the lineup at this point?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And especially when we're not, you know, a shutout's great, but I know for a fact that that might not happen every time. We have to put the best offensive lineup out there and see, you know, where everybody fits in.
Skylar, for you, just seeing the ball well at this point, does it feel like you're kind of getting into that groove?
Definitely. I was a little nervous coming in this year, and I talked to Coach, talked to her in the fall. It's a different game in college, definitely, and I am glad that Coach has given me the chance to show what I can do, and she trusts me out there. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for that.
So you make a big jump in this last weekend, playing a lot of third base, but you've also slotted in at shortstop, some first base, some second base, some right field. Primary position for you in high school, I mean, where are you comfortable at?
I'm definitely comfortable at third base and shortstop, and I did come here being a third baseman, but Coach did talk to me, and she said, I see you as a shortstop. You are athletic enough, and I want to see you there. And I am very glad that she has put me there, because I think that that has given me a more open mindset to, like, go in and playing those other positions, such as second base, right field, and first, because it just tells me that I need to be open to anything.
And I assume having the athleticism that she can play shortstop makes you feel like we've got an opening. We got to put you here.
Oh, for sure. And the biggest thing is like, right, to put her in the outfield, I said, just go catch the ball. Like, we're putting you in because we need an offensive lineup. Just go catch the thing. That's all you have to do.
Don't complicate it.
No.
Just go out and play.
Just go, yeah, it's softball. You're okay. Go get them.
So you've played all these positions. If she said, hey, can you catch, can you throw an inning, are you going to dive in and do it?
Oh, definitely. I already told Coach. I was like, hey, if you ever need a pitcher, I'm right there.
Did you toss a little bit in high school?
No. That was one thing I did not do. That was the one position, but I wish I did, but no, that was the one position.
So we look at it. You wrapped up the weekend 2 more against Drury, mm-hmm. a tough squad. Talked about losing those leads late.
Yeah.
Is it just kind of, hey, we're trying to find out how to close out games and how to seal these wins?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I talked to the team after, like, we are good athletes, but we can't be great if we don't do the little things right consistently. And that's really what we're trying to fight for. You know, and it can be tedious to do the little things, but that's what we have to do to win those games. And so we're just trying to get in that mindset of every pitch matters, you know, and every play matters, and getting into that fighting mentality.
So you're going to turn around and go for 2 against Truman State
yep.
tomorrow,
yep.
getting ready to head out to practice. What's detailed right now? Is it just kind of BP is staying loose, or are you actually working on certain things?
The biggest thing for us is our mindset, and it's can we go out and fight? And I told them, I want the kids that are going to be angry when they lose at a card game, right? I want that competitor, and so that's what we're going to get out of them today.
All right, I like it. So you go to Truman for 2 tomorrow, and then you're coming back home. You've got a doubleheader with Augustana
yep.
coming up this weekend. How big would it be just have some Bearcat fans out there, hopefully have some nice weather, and,
yeah.
and get a couple at home?
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, it showed against, you know, Minnesota State is when we can play on our home turf and we're sleeping in our own beds and all that fun stuff, we can go compete with the best of them. And I think, you know, they love playing at home. They love having people there support them because we can compete with the best.
MIAA play right around the corner. You ready for that?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Well, Skyler, Coach, thanks for the time, and good luck coming up tomorrow.
Thank you.
Naomi Tellez is Northwest Missouri State head softball coach, and Skyler Piper, a freshman from her team, joining us. We'll take a break and be back with more on the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KLRNW, talking Northwest Missouri State track and field. Just wrapping up the MIAA Indoor Championships over the weekend, we are talking with head coach Brandon Masters and assistant coach Nikki Weststein. Appreciate you both coming on, and have to be ecstatic. Great weekend overall. Northwest women finishing 2nd in the Indoor Championships here for the MIAA, and a chance to really take some of that momentum into the national championships here in about a week and a half or so.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. You know, first off, I'm glad it's done because we hosted again, and it's a lot of work to host a championship meet. It's a lot of work to host a big meet, but one of our smaller meets. But the championship level, the intensity, especially the MIAA coaches, everybody wants to win, and to pull it off, and very few hiccups along the way. Of course, there's always going to be things we'd like to done better, but you know, and then have the kids perform at that kind of level. Both the men and the women overperformed in many categories, rankings, points, things that we talk about every day is no matter where you're ranked, we need to come in and overcome that ranking. And if it happens to be points on the board, great. If not, you've done your job by overcoming your ranking. And we just had personal bests everywhere. You know, started the competition, I think it was like 12 for 12 personal best, something crazy in prelims, and hurdle girls had it started, the multis started it, and it was just got the train moving, and just everybody jumped on board. It was a lot of fun.
So Nikki, obviously not the first meet at home this year, but it was your first MIAA Indoor Championships as a part of the Bearcat Nation, also the hosting it for the first time there with Coach Masters too, to see the teams come out and perform so well. What was the energy like in that one compared to some of the other home meets?
It was electric. I mean, you know, we've hosted some larger meets with the Bearcat, but this one, I think there was more on the line. So I think the energy was just higher than what it's ever been. And for me personally, I mean, I competed in my AA, and the competition hasn't changed. It's only gotten better. So, you know, being a part of the staff has been really, really awesome. And seeing our kids step up and, you know, manage their expectations and manage their emotions and come through and perform like they did, it was just awesome. Awesome to see.
It feels like you look across the board in the MIAA, some of the best performers in the nation are right here within this conference. So
absolutely.
It's tough. It's tooth and nail. When you look at Caroline Cunningham, what she does, kind of stealing the show there, high point score for the women's side, a gutsy performance there. What do you take away from what Caroline did?
Well, I think the big thing to understand is one high point score. That's huge. She scored a lot of points for us, 23, I believe, total points, which is amazing. We didn't ask her to do the triple. She volunteered, wanted to do the triple, and that's a big task. I mean, a 5K, then the mile, then the 3K. She actually took 32 laps around the indoor track in competition. So in order for her to do that and come away with the places that she did was it's just very gutsy performance. And I thought, on the 3K, she looked pretty broken. I mean, it was really hard for her to get going. You could just see her just gaining the confidence. Okay, the girls aren't too far ahead. I can do it. And then she took off again. And let's just say after she finished the line, we had to kind of carry her away from that. But that's just one of the girls. I mean, so many of these girls stepped up and overperformed what we expected them to do in their events. And I mean, I could go down the list, but our 4x4, Allie Hammond scoring, 10 points for this group as a freshman, the 60 hurdles, and we'll find out later today if she gets to go to national championships in both of those now because of what she did this past weekend. Unbelievable. You know, Lucy was, only in one event for us this weekend. She's a little banged up. She qualified for national championships in the multi, got her 10 points, but she kind of got a little tweaked on the long jumps. We held her for the rest of the meet. So to have your kind of stud, if you will, you know, the girl we expect to score the most points, only do that one event. Next man or next woman up in this case, and they just kept performing, and it was fun. It's a 1 and 1 equals 3 type of situation. It was amazing to see those girls band together and do what they did.
You know, last week at this time, I asked you, like, all right, how high can this team go? And you're saying, hey, if things hit, we're sitting at 3 or 4 in a very competitive conference, and we'll take that. Breaking through and finishing second there, that has to feel really good and be a confidence booster as you do head into nationals here coming up on the 11th.
Well, we had to go perform. I mean, we have some of the best teams in the country, and we outperformed what the number 9 team in the country this weekend. And when they underperform and we overperform, we overtook them. And we knew that Lincoln was going to be right there. Victor always has those girls going. They're one of the top teams in the country every single year with multiple national championships. He's good at what he does. And we knew Fort A-State was a solid team. But we're the only group. And I mean, Lincoln overperformed quite a bit, but we got them in that 3K. That 3K was huge for us. And that put it over the top where we knew we were second. And so that 4x4 team could just run. And, you know, we had run 3:44 with Lucy on the team, and she's our best girl. She's one of the third best in the country in the 400. And so I was like, okay, I don't know what we're going to have. And the girls just went out and lit it up. And we actually ran right close to our season best without Lucy and still running 3:44. And actually broke the school record because we don't use converted times for the school records, and to see that, it was just mind-blowing. Yes, we held on for our second place. We wanted to do that, but I look up the scoreboard and saw 3:44. It's like, what just happened?
Unbelievable. Unreal, yeah. And, I mean, the cool thing, too, is, you know, we had a lot of ladies step up on that 4x4. I mean, Tiffany Huey came back from a monster 400, and same with Chloe Sines, who's a freshman, and, you know, for them to come in and step up and just kind of lay it all out, that last event of the day was just amazing to see.
And we knew those two were going to do their thing. They've done it all year long. They're awesome. But, you know, having JD come in off the 600 final, and the 600 is a tough, tough race, and it wasn't run too far before the 4x4. And then Bailey Blake, she's just a monster, coming off the 800 final where she got third. Those two were coming off of big, big races. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to have out of these two ladies.
Yep.
And they just ran lights out. Personal bests for both of those on splits this year, and lifetime for Bailey running 56 low. So it was unbelievable. And that's, an exclamation point for how the ladies performed, is just finishing that off.
Yeah, fantastic, just top to bottom. And starting it off, you mentioned Lucy Pentathlon winning that, setting a school record in points. Nikki, as you look at it, is it just kind of, all right, there's a good performance, so then someone to try to top that one. It just kind of builds off itself as that weekend goes.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, the women, too, they always think, like, okay, you know, Lucy got it done here. It's my turn. You know, it's never a pressure for them. They see it as a challenge, and they accept it openly. Yeah, they're all unreal. It's amazing.
What's funny about it is they're so young. Maybe they don't
yes.
even realize what
yeah.
they just did. And that's the beauty of being, you know, so many girls on this team are freshmen and sophomore, and very few upperclassmen. And so when we have them start rolling, it's like, oh, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
It sure seemed like that, and it's just one after another. It was fantastic.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, of – once they do realize what they've done, like, I've done it before. Now just kind of rolling in. They've got
absolutely.
That confidence the next time around. Another one we have to throw in there, too, Jada Shanklin, her first MIAA championship winning the high jump, too.
Oh, man, she's just cold, man. She came in at 167 and just bombed it first jump. 170, bombed it first jump. 173, bombed it first jump, and just was killing the bar. And it was over. That was it, three jumps, and she'd won. And she's like, 173, let's just pop it up to 6 feet. She just popped it up to 183, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Jada, that's 4 inches.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Jada. She was feeling it that day. She had her swagger. She was really feeling it. And then she come around and almost made it on the first jump. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? She had popped that day, and she just felt it, and she wanted the number one jump. She didn't want 6 feet. Everybody, you want to jump 6 feet. That's a big, big bar. Jada's going into the national championships ranked in the top three, I believe, now. Yeah, but nobody's performing to her consistency and level. I mean, she's off the charts right now. I mean, take three jumps to win the MIAA title. And that's her first one, by the way. So she had a mindset of coming in and protecting her place. And she said, if you want to jump high, you got to beat me. And she put it up there and just three jumps. It was done. So it's really cool to see her kind of come out of her shell a little bit, get that first championship of her career.
Really rolling there. And, of course, the men's side have touched on that too. Blake Morgan goes second in high jump. Also the distance medley for the men, taking that one too. So, again, you mentioned they had some performers step up and overachieve a little bit. Now a chance to keep on moving forward.
Yeah, you know, Blake is he's been such a consistent performer in the high jump as well. He's I think he's running seventh in the country right now. Braden's kind of got his number right now, and Blake knows it. If he hears this, he knows that he'll laugh. But Braden, kid from Kearney, he's a great jumper. He's been there with Blake three in a row now. He had Blake's number, so we'll go to the national championships so we can beat Braden at the national championships. But you know, DMR ran fantastic, came away with a win. But we had some great opportunities in many events. The 600 we really ran well, finished what 236, I believe, something like that. A really great event for us. But we just saw so many of the guys overperform, and that's what we talk about a lot is, I don't care what you're ranked. It doesn't matter now. It's all about placing now. Okay, so overcome your ranking. It doesn't matter about the time. Times are great, heights are great, but in a championship type of meet, it's all about what you place and the points that are associated with that placing for your team. And the kids got it, and they just really the energy was great. We're one of the smaller teams, but you wouldn't know it. We were loud, and it was really fun to hear our team cheer for each other. I think that's the way you do it. Our slogan is Better Together. It's on our meet shirts, and that's what this team is all about. We called it in week 7. It's a great slogan for our team, Better Together, and they certainly are.
Now, a chance to keep that rolling. The national championships will be down in Pittsburgh, Kansas, so sticking right here in the MIAA. Coach Masters, Coach Weststein, thanks for the time, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Brandon Masters and Nikki Weststein of Northwest Missouri State Track and Field joining us. We will take a timeout and be back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post frame and all steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Time now to talk baseball as the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, is with us, as well as outfielder Ryan Koski. And Darren, this time last week, it was, I think, what, about zero or wind chill about 10 below outside. And somehow you guys were able to get in a weekend of baseball.
Yeah, we were fortunate to open up at home. Doesn't happen very often in late February. But battled the cold temperatures early last week and then got an unexpected snowstorm on Thursday. Took a day Friday to get the field prepped and got it ready to go, and we were able to play in some a little bit chilly on Saturday, but a couple of beautiful days on Sunday and Monday. So fortunate to open up at home and kind of get going in the right direction.
Yeah, it was really kind of surprising to see how quickly the snow disappeared after that snow on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it was just, it was just the flurries. It didn't have much moisture in it. Once the sun came out on Friday, we were able to go out and do some things. I blew the snow off the dirt so it didn't get quite as muddy on the dirt. Made some tracks in the outfield, and our guys came out and drug some snow around, kind of knocked it down. And once you get down to that dark color and you get the sun out, it goes in a hurry. So we were able to do that. We were a little bit on hold. We weren't sure how we were, what Saturday was going to look like, but it turned out that it was an opportunity where it was still only about 40 degrees, but we were able to get that game in.
Yeah, it seems like you guys not only have to know a lot about baseball, but a little bit about gardening as well throughout the year.
Gardening and predicting the weather are two things that we need to do.
And a tough way to open up with Central Missouri coming in, one of the top teams in the nation there. But you look at that first game, 4-0 shutout. You got a great game by Spitzmiller on the mound, but just couldn't quite get the bats going in that one.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that, every Friday or every first game in the MIAA. Everybody's going to have a number one. Our guy's pretty good. I thought he pitched well. I think the only difference in game one, I think we're pretty similar in, walks and hit by pitches, probably pretty similar in hits. They just came up with two hits, one solo home run and one double to score a couple guys. So that was the difference. Hopefully once we settle in and we're able to get those big hits and drive in some runs and get Spitzy some runs. And then, looking at overall weekend, the middle game, Sunday's game kind of got away from us a little bit. We didn't take care of the baseball, a few too many mistakes. And then Monday's game, I felt like, it was probably our game late, had a one-run game, one-run lead late, and then just couldn't get it done to close it out. But feel like we're working in the right direction.
Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier, Ryan Koski is with us here, outfielder for your team. First, before we talk to Ryan, just kind of talk a little bit about what he means to your squad.
Yeah, Ryan's a guy that hits in the middle of our order. He's starting to get going a little bit, led our team in hitting Looks a lot more comfortable at the plate these days. Actually, we moved him to first base right now. We had an injury there. Tyler Peters, who's our leading hitter, has some cardiac issues that he's dealing with, so he's out indefinitely. So kind of threw Ryan in the fire over there, and he did a great job on the first game. He was out over there, had some tough plays that he made with ease. So feel like that's his home now. It kind of opens us up a little bit more in the outfield to get especially a speed guy in there. Caden Opfer has stepped up and has taken over Ryan's left field spot. So, you know, feel like Ryan's starting to get going now, and hopefully he continues to do that.
It looked like at one point during the weekend, able to reach base four out five times there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, on-base percentage. It doesn't matter how you get there. We just got to get there. So able to be a little bit pickier in the strike zone, lay off some tough pitches that maybe we weren't doing a week ago. And like I said, it's just our hitters. I think when we go outside and then when we have to go back into Hughes Fieldhouse, I think the lighting's different, the vision is different, and it takes a couple days to get outside and kind of start tracking that baseball again. And I think you can really see that in the quality of our bats going from Saturday to Monday.
Ryan, let's just talk about making that move to first base. And overall, you feel pretty comfortable going to the infield there?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, I've played outfield basically all my life, and it was new to me to come into college and play first base. I played a little bit in high school, but I don't know about you, Skip, but it looked like I was kind of having fun over there, too, on some of the plays.
I think you were.
Some of the comments from teammates were like, you look like a little kid out there. But I don't know. That's just normally kind of how I play the game. I love playing the game with energy.
Does it seem like the game moves faster playing in the infield?
Sometimes, I mean, that first day, especially in Hughes when I was thrown over at first base, just with the lighting and that over there, and some guys throw it harder than others, and it's just a lot of, you got to, like, read and react to the baseball.
As we were talking about, you had that one string there this weekend where you were getting on base about every time there for a while. Just talk about being able to see the ball, and again, you drew some walks there and able to be selective at the plate, and then how huge is that for you?
I mean, like Skip said, it's just being able to hit outside and adjust your eyes. And Coach Creason does a great job during our on-field BP of going through what our approach should be and what we're looking for. We'll have different kind of rounds to where we're changing our approaches. So when we get into those game situations, that's what we're executing.
Again, very early in this season, but overall, what do you see as potential right now for your team?
I see, like, we can win a lot of games. Right now, we were just talking back there, and a lot of our losses are to great teams, and the records of those teams right now are, like, 31-7. A lot of them are nationally ranked, and in some of those games, there's just a few things where if the ball goes our way or we get a break one of these times, then a couple of those would be changed to wins.
Hey, you come to Northwest from Kearney, Nebraska. What do you to Maryville?
To be honest, just I really wanted to get out of Kearney, and at that time when I was in Kearney, UNK still had a baseball team, and they were a place I was looking at going, and it was just really wanted to get out here. My aunt was a athlete out here, and she told me great things about it, and just really looking forward to the experience, and that's why I chose up here.
Now, Darren, you talked about having a lot of fun. Is that something you look for in players, too, to bring into the program, guys that just love to play the game, and the level of fun kind of carries over to the rest of the team?
Yeah, no question. I think baseball's a long season. You know, it's a grind, and if you don't have fun playing the game or enjoy going to the ballpark, you're going to be pretty miserable. So, you know, just feel like, you know, we want to play with energy. We want to play with tempo. You know, I don't think any team in the country is good enough to be a station-to-station team. You have to be dynamic, and in order to do that effectively, I think you have to have that mindset of having a lot of energy and, you know, wanting to go get that next base.
And, Ryan, as far as things outside of baseball, I know, again, it's a long season, and the sport demands an awful lot of time, but what are some of the interests you have away from the game?
Away from the game, I really don't have a lot of time away from the game, playing in the fall, playing in the spring, and playing in the summer. But a lot of times I love to go fishing, play golf, and really just hanging out with friends. I've been here for 5 years now, and we got a good group of older guys. We're pretty close, and we always just try to stick it out and do a lot of stuff together.
You have any favorite fishing holes around the area since you've been here a while?
I don't really do a lot of fishing here, but I got some places back in Nebraska that I love to go to.
All right. And Darren, with you look ahead toward the upcoming week, scheduled to go down to Pittsburgh, Kansas, face Pittsburgh State. What's the weather outlook down there, and what do you think about the Gorillas so far?
Actually, we got Missouri Southern this week.
Okay.
Go down to
Pitt. I saw it at Pitt. But,
I think that's 2 weeks down the road, or maybe the following weekend. I don't even know. But Joplin, we've seen them. We've been down at their tournament a week ago. Looked to be, you know, pretty physical lineup. They swing the bats pretty well. Maybe suspect a little bit in pitching, but of course they're going to have their top guys going against us. So we're going to have to score some runs. Again, get back to playing good baseball, throwing strikes, scoring up baseballs, and playing the game fast, and playing great defense. So I think if we can do that, we can beat a lot of teams in the country.
And I guess the nice thing about heading south right this time of year, weather, even though it's just a little further south, not a lot, but still a little bit of difference weather-wise there.
Yeah, it's, just checking it out, it's about 70 degrees down there, forecasted for the weekend. Got a chance of rain on Sunday, so later in the week we might make some adjustments to that schedule, but as of right now, we'll open up 3 o'clock on Friday.
All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us here.
Thanks, John.
You bet. That's the coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, along with Ryan Koski, an infielder now for the Bearcats. We'll be back and have more right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Pizza Ranch here in Maryville, the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball with Northwest head coach Austin Meyer, as well as Emma Atwood, a guard from his basketball team. Northwest coming off a week against Kearney and Fort Hays, now to the MIAA tournament, where you get rewarded with Nebraska Kearney once again. But Coach Meyer, back in the MIAA tournament, has to feel good to be heading back to Kansas City.
Yeah, it's a great tournament. Always fun to go down there, and so didn't have a chance to get there last year, but good. Glad to be back.
So as we look at it, too, heading in, another matchup with Nebraska Kearney. This will be number 3 on the year. I assume scouting report-wise, nothing changes. You just had it put out for 1 week, and now it's just kind of roll it right back into this one.
Yeah, there's some adjustments we need to make. But, you know, we especially last week, we defended them really well the first half. And, you know, we struggled, which they were really good, especially in that third quarter. They, you know, their post player, Carlson's as good as any. But there's some small adjustments that we've seen on film that we feel like will help us significantly. But we played pretty well offensively. You know, we had a little drought there in the third quarter, but I thought we were pretty efficient throughout the game. And, yeah, other than that one quarter, the third quarter at their place, you know, we've been right there with them. You know, the other seven quarters we played against them.
Emma, does that kind of kill you looking at last week's games, Kearney and Hays? And you played three really good quarters against both, but it's just one that slipped away. Is that just kind of a mindset thing, or how do you kind of come out and try to prevent that to be able to push forward and have four straight in March?
Yeah, I think just looking at it, it's a lot of the little things we just need to really focus on, like scouting report details, really putting those in the back of our minds and remembering that during games and what to take away from certain players. And then, I mean, it's good to know, like, we played two really close games with them both the beginning of the year and then just had those two quarters that really just weren't good for us. But just watching a lot of film and the breakdowns we had and what we need to fix, and then fixing that and putting it all together to play a complete game with them.
So I'm trying to think, 2 years ago when the Bearcats beat Central Oklahoma in the 7-10 matchup in Kansas City, was that your redshirt year?
Yes, the redshirt year.
So what does this mean to you to be able to actually step back out there, be on the court, play Municipal Auditorium after getting to see your team win a ball game there on the bench?
It's really exciting. I mean, obviously, just to be at the tournament's exciting, and then to be able to get that sixth seed and get a bye was good, just all the hard work we put in. But, yeah, just being down there in the atmosphere, and every game's a big game, and every team is going to show their best. So it's really exciting to get to play there.
And at this point, with the game coming up on Friday, you avoid that kind of first-round matchup there by the 7-10 or the 8-9. Some teams have already left. Everybody's fewer people there at the hotel. It's just kind of narrowing down. It's an exciting time of knowing that everybody's kind of getting knocked off and you're kind of playing for your season, chance to get three wins to keep going.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I think it's just getting more real that it is like winding down and it's up to us how we play, and we know what we're capable of and we can go as far as we want and play to. So, I mean, obviously the games in the past matter and we learn from them, but I mean, now that we're in the tournament, it's kind of a clean slate for everyone, and everyone's just going to play their best basketball.
Coach, is this one where do you go down on Thursday, get a shoot around, watch the men's team, and just kind of get yourself settled in?
Yeah, we'll go down Thursday and watch the two early women's games just to get a feel and just kind of hang out. And then we'll Ashley Harvey, our graduate assistant, her dad is the head coach at Penn Valley Community College down there, so men and women. So he's got a key to the gym, so we'll have practice down there, get some food, and then roll back in for the guys' game in the evening.
I mean, you've been doing this since, you know, a high schooler playing through March, then at Northwest. Now you've been a coach here for quite some time. Is this just a special time of, boy, November, everything's kicking off, and you kind of got that feel, but now you're getting that March madness right here?
Yeah, it's a fun time of year. It's exciting across the board. You know, being out on the road last night watching high school district games, and it's playoff time all around, and it's obviously win or go home. I think this year not having to rely on somebody else to get in the tournament was big. Obviously, it helped that, you know, we got the sixth seed and had to kind of wait around, I guess, on that game on Saturday to see who won. But, yeah, like you talked about, getting that sixth seed and getting the bye is huge because it's, you know, as good as the teams are one through, you know, I mean, the whole league's good. But, I mean, your 7, 10, 8, 9 games are quality teams, teams that have been really good programs in this league for a long time. So, to get out of one of those games is big. It gives us an extra day to rest, an extra day to prepare, to hopefully be at our best when we play Kearney.
I have to think that 7-10 matchup, you want to avoid at all costs. The 10 is Emporia State, who's as dangerous as anybody coming into the tournament. So it just kind of goes to show that depth. For you, is there anything special, anything that changes going into a tournament setting of day two, day three, getting ready for those subsequent games?
Not really, just because you're so focused on the first game is really all that matters. You know, we won't do any prep for the second game until after the first one. So the UNK game is the biggest game, and you know, hopefully we can play well, get through that one, and then then it becomes kind of a grind. You don't get much sleep preparing for that next game. But there's no need to prepare for a game two games away if we're not fully prepared and ready to go for the first one.
As a dad of young children, you're used to going on no sleep, so this is nothing for you, right?
It is, yeah. I actually I found a mouse in my kitchen at 4 in the morning, so I got even less sleep. I thought basketball was the only thing that was supposed to stress me out this time of year, but
there's always something.
Always something. I asked Emma if she wanted to come over and try to find it and get rid of it.
But team bonding.
She passed on that one. She deferred.
Competition to see which teammate can get the mouse first.
There you go. Well, Northwest Missouri State opening up the MIAA tournament in the quarterfinal round Friday at 2:15 against Nebraska Kearney. Coach Meyer, Emma, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Austin Meyer and M. Atwood from the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team. The Bearcats taking on UNK at 2:15. We'll have pregame starting at 1:45 right here on KXCV at KRNW. We'll take a timeout and be back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com. Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on. A busy week for a lot of coaches and players with the spring sports going on, as well as the winter sports winding down. And I don't think there's anybody busier than the Sports Information Director, Northwest Missouri State, Colin McDonough. It's a busy time of year for you, no doubt.
It is. I'm glad I can at least have a couple minutes here to chat with you, John, and we can catch up on some of these events that have been going on. I know the coaches have done a good job of stopping by and doing that, so hopefully we can clear things up here and make everything good the rest of the day.
That sounds good. We don't get a chance to talk nearly enough on some of these road trips as well, too.
It just depends who's driving.
That's true. But first of all, let's just turn our attention to what's coming up at Municipal Auditorium this weekend with men's and women's basketball. It's a nice problem to have here where you've got, I don't want to say a problem even, but a nice situation where you've got both the men and women down there this weekend.
That is very nice. I know the last time we were down there 2 years ago, that was the case because the women beat Central Oklahoma and then played Emporia in that second round. This time around, they got into that kind of that bye into that 3-6 game, so the women won't play until Friday. And Austin kind of he had joked with me in the office. He said, "When we play, we're going to be one of the top five teams left in the league because everybody else has been eliminated."
So yeah, that's a good.
Only
point.
Five teams left on that Friday afternoon, and then Bearcat men playing on Thursday. You hope obviously you get a victory there, and then hopefully you're playing Saturday, Sunday. With both teams with that potential.
And for the Northwest men, just a lot of records falling this season individually, and then you look at the team finding a way to get a share of their conference title for the ninth straight year during the regular season. And we were talking to Matt a little bit earlier about that, but that is just remarkable, especially with the level of competition in this league in basketball, to be able to have a share of that title or an outright title for nine straight years.
What I think about as well is there's recruiting classes that are part of that. So that's 9 years. So that's essentially three or four recruiting classes that you're going through. Now, you might have one or two good ones, and you might win three in a row, four in a row. But to go to nine in a row, that's an incredible run from clearing out the roster two or three different times, and still you haven't missed a beat. You're still at the top at the end of at the league each year. It's phenomenal that recruiting hasn't dropped off a bit, and just the team is able to mesh every year to make it work, and Coach Mack has done a fantastic job from start to end. I wasn't here at the start of it, but those first couple years he was here, I'm not sure at the end of that first or second year you'd have said, in a decade, do you think they'll have won nine in a row? And you probably would have said no. The players that he brought in, the coaching staff that he had, all the pieces just came together from an administration standpoint, and it's just not missing a beat, and it's truly incredible what they've done.
And they've also had a lot of success in the MIAA tournament itself, but when you look at everything that goes into a season, such a long season, you have to keep the right guys healthy or overcome some injuries through the year, and just a lot you have to deal with each and every year, and each year has been different. Essentially, each team has its own personality every year that they're able to kind of work their way through all the issues that you face during a season and still come out on top at the end.
And I always think the regular season title means so much more. In the postseason, you can have a bad game. You can have a guy make a 55-foot shot at the buzzer and beat you in the tournament final. If that happens in the regular season, it's just one game. But in the postseason, luck plays so much of a factor, and just the way the ball bounces at times, you just have no control over that. Whereas in a full regular season, 22 games, you can make up for here and there just a mistake. But in the postseason, everything is magnified, and one little mistake or one off game, and you're done.
Yeah, that is true. We found that out last year in the championship game when it was held at Bearcat Arena. But you look at Northwest in the tournament down in Kansas City, Municipal Auditorium. They've had an awful lot of success in that tournament as well.
Yeah, and it's not just Ben McCollum.
Right.
Steve Tatmeyer had quite a few wins down there, or quite a few titles as well. Just to look through the record book, and I think I looked at Northwest has won 48 tournament games. That's the most of anybody in the league. So the amount of success that the Bearcats have had, be it on campus or in Kansas City, it's really unmatched in this league. And I kind of compare it to football when we're in the playoffs and we had over 50 playoff wins, and the rest of the league doesn't come close to 50. It's amazing the amount of success and sustained success that we've seen from our Bearcat sports team.
No doubt about that. And on the women's side, getting down there, they've had success in that tournament through the years as well. And it's really nice to see the hard work that Austin Meyer and his team have had the last several years really pay off by being able to get down there and get an opening round bye, as you mentioned.
That is. Top six seed was important. You don't have to play the 7-10 or 8-9 game and be down there. So now they can kind of relax a little bit, practice a few more. I know Jane had said that they had the day off Sunday, which you probably wouldn't normally do. If you're going to play Wednesday, you're probably getting some film and scouting. So it's nice having a little extra day. And you know exactly who you're playing to in the 3-6, whereas you're not in the one. If you're the 1 or 2 seed, you're kind of waiting to see who you're playing. This way, you know exactly who your opponent is. You know where your time is. Everything is set. So that, from that standpoint, it's pretty regimented.
You know, it's nice to get back to Kansas City Municipal Auditorium. It was nice to host last year on the men's side in that tournament with the COVID situation where they weren't able to go to Municipal Auditorium. But that's turned into a very nice spring tradition for the entire conference to kind of get together for that every year.
Kansas City is a great meeting spot for the league. It's certainly centrally located for virtually the entire league. I mean, I don't think it's that, maybe for Kearney it's a little bit of a haul, but for the rest of the league, it's a very centrally located, nice spot to go to, an easy spot for the fans to get to, and Kansas City is a good town to draw to for families, for friends of the program. It's just a nice spot to play some basketball and get together, and then also a lot of gathering spots too, from hotels to restaurants to whatever you want to get together for. It's a really good spot.
It certainly is. Now, while you've got all that going on, you still have to get the information out and the games covered for softball, baseball this weekend. You had indoor track last week, and there's not a lot of sleep for you this time of year.
Oh, the end of those nights are getting pretty getting shorter and shorter. I just find myself writing a few more tennis, a few more golf, a few more baseball, softball recaps, some track recaps. Sometimes it's tough to get them all in, but I just want to take the time and make sure that each of the sports gets represented and taken care of and shared with the media. So if folks don't get a chance, always check out the website, bearcatsports.com, just for the latest information from a schedule standpoint to game recaps to stats. We try to keep it updated as best as we can to the best of our ability. And folks always ask me, how are you able to do it? I said, I take pride in it. That's what I want. I want that to be an information source that fans can trust and use.
Well, it is a great site. And not only take pride in that, you do a great job working with the media that covers the games. I know you help us out considerably game in, game out, and not only with the demands that we put on you, but the demands that the print media and everybody puts on you. It's a heck of a deal and a heck of a job that you guys pull off every game.
And I'm certainly glad that part of that lies in with the success of Bearcat Sports. If we weren't as successful, I don't think you'd find as much media coverage of it. It's nice going to be able to go in an arena. If you go on a road trip, you know you're going to have like a newspaper with you, a videographer, a radio crew. Every piece of the media is going to be there for a game, whereas some of the schools, when they come here, you might see a radio guy, you might not. You might see somebody taking pictures, you might not. But I feel like we always have coverage from every standpoint, and that's just folks that want to be around Bearcat Athletics too.
Well, let's get a quick check of what you've got going this week schedule wise just to make sure that everybody knows what's where, and if in case they don't have a chance to go to bearcatsports.com.
I know we have softball tomorrow at Truman State, and then Saturday against Augustana we got a doubleheader at home. Weather wise we might play that one on Friday Saturday, so we're still kind of waiting on that. Track and field is off this weekend. They should know their national qualifiers later this evening, so they'll have 12 days prepared to go to Pitt State for that one. Baseball is going to head to Missouri Southern this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I think weather-wise it's going to be a beautiful weekend in the state of Missouri, so I don't think we have to worry about moving any of those games. The tennis, just for the week ahead, Rosie's squad is going to be so busy. They've got Southwest Minnesota State at home, and then they're going to head down south, and they're going to play Drury, Wachita Baptist, Southern Arkansas, Arkansas Tech. They're going to stay really busy, and then obviously with the men's and women's basketball tournaments in Kansas City going on, that'll take up a little bit of my time as well. And then Andy Peterson's got the golf squad going out to the Wigwam Resort in Litchfield, Arizona for their opener. Southwest Minnesota State hosting that in Arizona. So it's a pretty good spot for the Southwest Minnesota State folks to get to and get out and host it.
Well, that's not a bad destination for anybody going out there for that tournament.
That's not bad. So hopefully we can try to get all these sports covered at once and get the best information out there for Bearcat fans.
All right. Well, it's a fun time of year, no doubt about that.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, and that is Colin McDonough, Sports Information Director at Northwest Missouri State. There's a lot going on this week, and don't forget, on the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV, KRNW, we've got the basketball beginning Thursday night as Northwest Missouri State is in action. The Bearcat men, the number 2 seed in the tournament Thursday night. They open up with an 8:15 game facing the winner Missouri Western in Rogers State. Our pregame comes your way at 7:45 from Municipal Auditorium. And then it's Bearcat women's basketball on Friday afternoon as they play at 2:15 at Municipal Auditorium. So a lot coming up as they face the UNK on Friday. Thanks to everyone involved with the broadcast. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long for Pizza Ranch.